Ah, your wife makes a fine pot of zombie takeout, Danny, me boy.
What's up? Welcome to episode 71 of Zombie Takeout. The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get into this week's movie, in lieu of listener submitted, I have a little correction to make. Last week when we were talking about the Star Wars Expanded Universe, I named a book called Shadow of the Mind's Eye.
That sounds awesome. Who is in that?
Well, I kind of combined two titles. The one I was referring to was Shadow of the Empire, which I should have remembered because it's the only book that had figures made of it when it first came out. And I kind of crossed it with Splinter of the Mind's Eye. Just wanted to clarify that before we got any corrections.
I look forward to your hate mail.
And also, yeah,
there's so many Star Wars Expanded Universe books. Yeah. They should just start combining a couple. You're onto something, I think.
And not just titles, but plots, yeah.
Right, right.
Also, a bit of news, and this is the second week we have news. This probably isn't going to be a regular thing, because, you know, B-movie, cult movie news, not really a regular thing.
Nah, why not?
But, you know, every once in a while. Now, a while back on the Facebook page, I posted a link to the IMDb page for a movie called Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Hmm.
It's coming
out. Sounds quality.
I think it's next year, and I think it's something we really have to review.
Please, for the love of God, tell me they're casting Sam Waterston to reprise his role from the Gore Vidal miniseries from the 80s.
Well, I don't think they have that kind of budget, but
okay.
What they do have something of a budget, because it has recently been mentioned that Trent Reznor will be writing the music for it.
Why don't they get Trent Reznor to play Lincoln?
Well, in addition to writing the music, he also has a cameo in the movie.
Well, you know, at least this time it'll be an interesting movie as opposed to the last one he did the score for.
And I'm actually looking forward to this because, I mean, yeah, neither of us really loved Social Network, but one of the things I really did like about it, which I think I mentioned in my review, was the score.
Oh, the score was awesome. That it was kind of a problem, though, because the beginning of the movie was so dull that I was caught myself listening to the score and getting into it.
See, I had the opposite. What I loved about it is I didn't notice it most of the time. There were only really two spots where the score jumped out at me, and it was because he was remixing other people's songs.
Yeah.
And that's what caught my attention. Most of the time when it was Reznor's original music, I didn't even know it was there, which is what a score should do.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to it. It just seems an odd choice going from an Academy Award to Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. I guess, you know, you do the studio film.
Got to get paid.
Well, you do the studio film, then you do the art film, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, on to this week's movie. And it is from 1993, Leprechaun.
Speaking of art films.
Yeah. This is, of course, our St. Patrick's Day episode.
Yes. We will leave our bad Irish accents at the door.
Yeah. I was very tempted to suggest Green Fear for a title, but I held back.
This one had titles that just kept on giving. I mean, yeah. I watched this last night and I kept like, no, this.
And I guess that brings us to the impromptu plot summary.
Brought to you by Joe's Coins and Collectibles.
Wait, wasn't it Daryl's Coins and Collectibles?
No, it was Joe's Coins and Collectibles.
Yeah, sure, maybe it was, you know, the other Daryl, his brother.
No, it was Joe's Coins and Collectibles.
You sure it wasn't Larry's?
It was Joe's Coins and Collectibles.
Okay, if you say so.
So, we have our protagonist is a spoiled rich girl. No one really told her life was going to be this way, you see.
Her first friend's reference of the night.
What?
First friend's reference of the night.
Oh. Thank you for stopping me, by the way, because I would have done the whole fucking song. And is there a worse TV show theme song? Well, maybe other than Taxi.
Well, I think we could think of a few, but that's down there.
All right. So yeah, she's are they on vacation or are they moving from California? I didn't quite get that at the beginning.
I kind of got the impression they didn't say it, but because it's just her and her father, I kind of got the impression they were maybe divorced and her mother was pawning her off on him.
Hmm.
She needed time away from L.A.
Or, of course, as a lot of this movie, you just wind up saying, it really doesn't matter, does it?
Not the point.
This plot was just a shade more coherent than Wet Hot American Summer. In fact, I'll just do a generalization to begin. It's sort of like Nightmare on Elm Street meets The Gods Must Be Crazy, or Friday the 13th meets Benny Hill.
Better.
Now, in fact, I think there are some scenes that may have improved this movie. It could have made them even funnier if they put Yakety Sax in.
Oh, absolutely.
Instead of the
Harlem. That would have dramatically improved the movie.
But anyway, you have this old couple. They, for some reason, this guy steals a leprechaun's gold when he's in Ireland, because that's what you do when you go to Ireland. You just drink too much and you think you've seen a leprechaun and you've stolen somebody's money or whatever and you think it's gold.
And of course you have to start a fight at some point there too.
Well, yeah.
Note my last name on the about page before you complain about that.
Yeah, I'm part Irish too. Not as much, but part. So, yeah, the leprechaun somehow stowed away and chased him down for his gold, even though he got it fair and square. And he locks the leprechaun up in a box and has a stroke or a heart attack, some sort of attack.
Stroke.
Can burn the leprechaun out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to spoiler alert. The only way to kill a leprechaun is to put a four-leaf clover on his body, right? In the beginning of the movie, he has a four-leaf clover, puts it on top of the crate to keep him in.
Why didn't he just put it on
the leprechaun?
Yeah.
My only Lewis Black moment of the movie, really, actually. Everything else I was kind of fine with, you know. I just got it. They didn't give shit about, you know, continuity or whatever.
Right, of course.
They couldn't get help, but they could somehow sneak her out to get to the rest home.
Yeah.
I'm getting ahead of myself,
In a truck that could have easily carried all of them.
All of them, yes. So anyway, what happens is, years later, Rachel from Friends with her father comes to this place. They accidentally let the leprechaun loose. There's a kid and a retard, and they take the gold for themselves, and really hilarity ensues from that point. I mean,
it attempts to.
Yeah, you get the drift of it from there. Besides, we skipped ahead anyway, so yeah, hilarity does ensue. So, not a fan of this one, huh, Uncle Joe?
I think it all started with the beginning. It's just something about that whole scene with Danny. I think it was Danny O'Grady, the guy who you meet at the beginning who has the stroke. Something about that scene just makes it impossible to take this movie seriously.
Well, I don't think the idea is to take this movie seriously.
Well, and that's the thing. They weren't sure which they wanted to do, and they really didn't. I mean, obviously, you can do a horror comedy. Shaun of the Dead proves that.
Yeah.
But it just didn't quite work. I mean, the only thing scary to me in this movie, because I'm arachnophobic, were the couple of big spiders that you see at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about them.
Warning to my fellow arachnophobes out there. And
do you have, like, a group or something?
No, but any arachnophobes who might be.
All right.
There are a couple of big ones in this movie. So that didn't work, and the comedy just didn't work on me because it was cheap, cheesy Irish jokes.
Well, yeah, there were cheap, cheesy Irish jokes. But what other kind of Irish jokes are there, really?
Well, yeah, I mean, at least in Shaun of the Dead, I mean, Simon Pegg is a comedic genius, so
yeah,
the comedy worked, and it was scary because, you know, zombies, very well done zombies. Nothing in this movie was well done.
No. No, absolutely nothing was. I don't think they were going for scares, though.
Well, no. That's one thing I read. Excuse me. I think it was on Wikipedia. or IMDb, one of the two. They talked about the original and the sequels. And they mentioned that this, in the sequels, they just give up on the whole horror thing. They just go straight comedy.
I think, honestly, I think they were going for straight comedy here. I really do, because, I mean, aside from some, you know, scratches,
yeah.
The body count in this movie is only four. Hey, come on. Freddy Krueger takes four in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Fuck, Clint Eastwood in Westerns takes four in the first five, usually. No, the entire movie, four. Mm-hmm. And really, most of those are in the first couple minutes, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you have an old lady.
The old lady.
A heart attack and goes down the stairs.
Right.
That doesn't scream horror to me.
No. You have the old lady, the random cop.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the other two.
The other two was the old man, finally. Spoiler alert.
Oh, right.
And who was... No. Daryl.
Oh, yeah. There is a great cameo for those of you old enough to remember. There's a coin and collectible shop owner who was played by John Volstad, better known, as we alluded to in our sponsor, as the other Daryl.
This dude had a career. That's
oh,
the
yeah.
shock.
He's had quite a career. He still works today.
I had
today.
No idea.
I mean, he's done a lot. I mean, fairly recently, but I don't know that I've ever noticed him or seen him in anything else.
According to this, he hasn't worked in about 10 years now.
Oh, has it been that long? I thought it was more recent than that.
Something like Falling Like This was the last movie he did.
Okay.
Which Daryl brother was he? Was he the one with the brown hair, or was he with the curly blonde hair?
The curly blonde hair.
Okay. And he had played someone named Daryl on the show Coach. That's
probably
awesome.
A reference. Had to be.
Yes. Oh boy. But yeah, I mean, you can't seriously think that this is a horror movie, no. But one of the four people, Daryl, mm-hmm. gets killed by a pogo stick.
Yeah.
Come on.
One thing I did find amusing is the leprechaun has some great vehicles throughout the movie.
Yes.
When the pogo stick in that scene, there are quite a bit of time on a tricycle.
Yes.
At one point, a demolition derby kind of thing that he built himself in their barn in about 10 seconds.
And exhibit B of why this was a comedy and not a horror movie. I don't know why I'm turning into Perry Mason all of a sudden. Mm. But exhibit B, notice when he's on these vehicles or they're doing a chase, they're always doing that God must be crazy, you know, fast motion
sort of
thing.
And like you said, Yakety Sax would have been great there.
Especially in the hospital scene.
Yeah.
I would have loved that if they had just broken from the horror soundtrack mm-hmm. theme and just went all in. Here's Yakety Sax. This is what we were doing all along. We're really doing Benny Hill with an evil leprechaun.
Or what I heard in my head in all those scenes, because I didn't think of Yakety Sax, the Wicked Witch music from Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
I heard it in my head every time he was on a vehicle.
Something about that Yakety Sax.
Yeah, that would have been better, of course.
Especially during, I mean, they were even chasing each other in the kind of zigzaggy way and everything. It was just so Benny Hill. That's who they really should have had to play the leprechaun. But you got to give Warwick Davis some work.
I think one of the other things that kind of ruined it for me, aside from the cheap Irish jokes, and I wasn't offended by them. I was just annoyed because they were cheap and unoriginal. But the other thing that ruined it, the kid in the movie, of course, there has to be a kid.
Well, yeah.
Possibly even more annoying than the kid from Troll 2.
He did have a lot of exaggerated dialogue.
Yeah. He just irritated me. At one point, the leprechaun is attacking him. The only time in the movie I was rooting for the leprechaun.
Well, I kind of feel cheated that all four of them survived.
Yeah.
What is that horse shit? Come on, some people got to get picked off. It's supposed to be, which is also why, you know, it wasn't really a horror movie.
No. Well, if you think about it, okay, look, in terms of the main cast, because everybody who died was kind of peripheral.
Yeah.
If you look at the main cast, No minorities. Nobody gets laid.
No.
Who are they going to kill?
Right. So it's sort of a movie that, I guess, a horror movie for children?
Perhaps.
I mean, because there's a PG-13 version as well as an R version.
Oh, okay. I was not aware of that.
And I think they just took out some of the violence, some of the blood. You know?
Yeah, some of the gore.
Yeah. And the gore is really like, how did he even get that? It was kind of, it wasn't where I was, ew, oh my God, he got all cut up. It was like, hey, wait a minute.
When did that happen?
Get all cut up?
Yeah. And it was even cheesier than Blood Rain at points, I think.
Well, they didn't, you know, have hoses of blood.
Well,
you know,
no. Maybe. Well, no, the torrents of Kool-Aid, no. They didn't do the torrents of Kool-Aid, but, you know, the gashes that they did just looked cheesier than Blood Rain at points. And speaking of one of the injuries, and to your point about her leaving, you know, they couldn't get away even though she got away to the hospital.
That was probably, well, that was ridiculous.
Well, that was ridiculous, but also, they got her father out of the movie very quickly.
Right.
Why didn't they all just go with him? Although they didn't know it was the leprechaun at that point, but...
Why didn't they kill him off?
But he thinks he hears a cat, he sticks his hand in a tree stump to grab it, which, even if it was a cat, you don't do that. It's going to bite you. But, you know, the leprechaun bites his hand, they whisk him off to a hospital, you never see him again.
Yeah.
Like, literally, he's never even mentioned throughout the rest of the movie.
I mean, he gets taken in for observations for, what, a cut?
Yeah.
A bite? Was it really that serious? I mean, the guys from Jaws, I'm sure, weren't even in, you know, they're probably outpatients.
Right. You mentioned Jaws. Okay. One thing, one of the few things I liked. The vehicle scenes were amusing, I gotta admit.
Yeah.
The one thing I really liked, the only thing I laughed at, okay, big spoiler alert. The kid kills the leprechaun. And his line when he kills the leprechaun, fuck you, Lucky Charms. I hadn't noticed any other Lucky Charms references.
There were two.
I didn't catch them. So that was the first one I caught. It killed me.
Because, I mean, they said a magically delicious somewhere in there early on.
What was it? Goldenly delicious gold. Was the line. He did not say magically.
I swear there's a magically delicious in there somewhere. And then, of course, there was the cereal, Lucky Clovers.
I did not... Okay, that I didn't catch.
Which, you know, they had and they haven't have. And I thought they were just... You know, it would have been better if it was just something you saw for like half a second and then they didn't even do anything with it. But they went all in and the leprechaun took it out and had some to eat and spit it out and was disgusted.
Okay.
Playing solitaire, huh?
And probably. Honestly, I took most of the day to watch this movie because I could barely stand to sit through 10 minutes more than 10 minutes at a shot.
Wow.
I watched it in fragments because that was about all I could take.
I wound up watching, I started watching it like on Sunday, but then got sidetracked and then had to do the rest last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helped.
Okay.
Because the first scene was pretty damn awful with the over-the-top Irish accents, even though they've been living in the U.S. for how long. And the movie's just full of that, really.
There were people... Actually, no. I actually have a neighbor who's Irish, from Ireland.
Yeah.
In his 70s, been living here since his teens. He still has an accent.
Okay.
So it depends on when you move. If you're into your... like. If you're over 10, you know, when you leave, you're going to keep your accent for a while.
Yeah, but the accent usually isn't quite as thick after some decades.
Those were comically bad accents. Like
exactly.
Which, you know, was a choice, I guess, on Warwick Davis's part.
But right.
Speaking of Warwick Davis, now this is a man I have some respect for. I mean, he was Wicket, and as well as other roles in Star Wars, he did Willow, which was a great movie.
Yeah.
And this was after Willow.
Yes.
He had some choices.
Come on. How?
Okay, granted, okay, he's a little person. His choices are limited, but he had his choices.
I mean, I know he only makes up a small percentage of the population. But how many chances was he going to get for a lead, you know? I mean,
true. Fair enough.
He wasn't going to get a chance to kick ass like this.
Yeah, I guess.
Even though he only took four people.
I would just hope he would have read the script first.
Body count was rather short.
Mm-hmm. Just not expecting those jokes.
What?
I should have, but I wasn't.
Oh, boy. Yeah, now that does bring me to a good point here.
Mm-hmm.
How come no one had the natural reaction a person would to see a leprechaun appear? Nobody laughed.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no, does Santa know you're not in the workshop?
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Right. And only the one obvious Lucky Charms reference.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they did three.
But I'm saying nobody said it to him.
And who wrote this movie? Was it the same guy that wrote the fuck you, Mr. Clown joke?
See, that's the other thing I liked That's what I liked about that line. Because that's exactly how I was feeling at that point in the movie.
The majority of the jokes, you know, I liked. I thought, you know, it was kind of fun. It went with it. And then he says, fuck you, Lucky Charms. I think I actually exclaimed out loud, God damn it.
See, I think I liked that line because it reminded me of Fuck You, Mr. Clown. And it
sucked. Yeah, it did to me too. That's
what I mean. Well, I know you hate that joke. I don't know if you've ever told that story.
Really not. But you know, the Mr. Clown joke.
But it summed up. I felt like the guy in the joke.
Yeah.
You know, you've done all of this to me, and then that's kind of how I feel after all of this time is fuck you, Lucky Charms.
That's the big comeback that he was, you know, burning with for the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he showed him.
I mean, as much as I hated the kid for most of the movie, I liked him at that point. And not 5 minutes earlier, I wanted the leprechaun to kill him.
So what
pretty much all I got.
Okay, cool. All right, so I think we could move on to, we know sequels.
Yeah, there have been, six of them so far?
Yeah, I think they're up to six now, if I'm not mistaken.
And like I said, they're all comedy, and they've done two in the hood. Saw a clip of the fourth, which, of course, if you know your horror sequels, has to be in space.
Yeah, that kind of kills me, though, that somebody would be like, oh, you know, in the sequels, they ditched the horror, went straight for the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the soundtrack, there is really nothing horror about this movie.
No.
There's some fake blood, there's a soundtrack, and that's it. Other than that, they're bad Irish jokes.
Yeah.
And, you know, a midget riding around in funny vehicles.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, you know, that's entertainment to me, personally.
And on the positive
side, like this.
And on the positive side, a young Jennifer Aniston in tight shorts, but...
Yes. That they had a perfect, you know, leprechaun height camera.
Yes. At one point, the leprechaun is chasing her, and, well, consider where his eye level would be. That's where they put the camera on her running.
Yeah.
Okay, I did enjoy that part.
And did you catch the Evil Dead 2 reference?
There was the scene in the cabinets?
I was thinking the hand.
The hand, okay, yes. There were a couple of spots that kind of reminded me of Evil Dead.
Yes.
The hand, of course. At one point, they catch his hand in a door. And this is a thing in a lot of horror, but they close the door and cut off his hand. I don't know how you do that, but... Anyway, his hand becomes animated, unlocks the door, and then crawls under the door, and he puts it back on. Which reminds me of a certain King Missile song, but I won't get into that.
Well, yeah. Haven't heard that one in a long time. That takes me way back.
But that room, of course, was clearly... It could have been a reference to Evil Dead. And there was for some reason, when he was popping up in the different cabinets, it didn't remind me specifically of Evil Dead, but it was kind of an Evil Dead-style joke.
You're right. It was very much. Now that you mention it, I was thinking Tom and Jerry, but it wasn't Evil Dead, pretty much a horror movie version of Tom and Jerry.
I actually, if you think about it, this could have been a great movie if, again, you used Yakety Sox and you put Bruce Campbell in it.
Well, there you go. Because I was wondering, if you remade this, you know, other than using Vern Troy.
Right.
So you're saying CGI the Leprechaun with Bruce Campbell?
Well, no. Actually, for the Leprechaun,
yeah,
Vern Troyer is an obvious choice. But yeah, what I would love to see is go full Lord of the Rings. Andy Serkis, CGI.
Wow. So would you be making a horror movie or a comedy?
See, I was thinking, when I thought of that, I was thinking straight horror.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, okay, initially, I wanted to, you know, do a little research on leprechauns, because I was thinking, okay, go back to the origins of the leprechaun. Maybe they were more, you know, a little more intense. They weren't. They were always the little guy in the green suit. So you got to, I guess you got to stick with that. But, you know, Andy Serkis and the CGI, much better than a guy in a suit, because he's a good actor.
But what about Warwick Davis?
He had his chance.
Yeah.
And you put in Bruce Campbell. I think the rest of the cast is kind of irrelevant. You fill in your you know, stereotypes, so to speak. You fill your quota, but you put Bruce Campbell as the lead.
As
the lead of the hero, so to speak.
Okay, so as the purple sleeveless shirt.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, 80s feathered hair guy. Yeah.
I kind of like to see Bruce Campbell as the leprechaun somehow.
Interesting. Okay. If you're going comedy, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of a fake Shemp thing.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I can't imagine Bruce Campbell doing an Irish accent. I can't imagine Bruce Campbell doing any accent, actually. No.
Could be funny.
Could be hilarious.
But that would be actually fairly... Well, I don't know about the accent, but the scale issue could be easy if he does everything in front of a green screen.
Yeah.
And you just scale him down to fit into the movie.
Hey, since Lord of the Rings, anything is fair game, you know?
Exactly.
The way they did the Hobbits and Dwarves.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you could just use Force Perspective, I guess.
Right.
And I think, yeah, the rest of the cast is...
Yeah.
Irrelevant.
Nobody's. And think about it, it really worked for this one. I mean, you knew they were going to have someone that was going to be, you know, one of the biggest actresses for some time after it.
And John Volstad is still alive, so he's got to reprise his role.
Yes. Daryl must come back.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that played Ozzy, which I kind of giggled every time they named him Ozzy.
Right.
Oh, it's a leprechaun, you know.
So do you cast Ozzy as Ozzy?
Yes. Hell yes. But I mean, this guy, the guy that played him, has had a very interesting career. You know, just, you know, looking over his IMDb, the guy's done everything from Pee-wee's Big Adventure to NYPD Blue.
Interesting.
To John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, wow. I looked him up. I didn't look at his resume specifically. The picture did look kind of familiar.
Yeah, he's the kid, or the grown-up version of the kid in A League of Their Own.
Okay.
That's the only thing I remembered him from stuff I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's probably why I did look somewhat familiar.
But yeah, quite the career.
Mm-hmm.
On
to Brains?
Yes, on to Brains.
Now, like I said, I didn't like this one, but I think you've talked me up a little bit.
I can do that.
I'm going 2.5.
Yeah, you know, I've been back and forth higher than you, of course, because I mean, I enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
Nothing entertains me more than seeing a midget riding funny vehicles.
And that's the part that convinced me to go higher with the rating, actually.
And fast motion, you know, God's must be crazy. Just yakety sax, that's all I ask. I think it dragged a bit after the first hour. You know, there's that part between the first hour and then the climactic scene.
Right.
Kind of dragged in there.
That was where they were trying to track down the old man to figure out how to kill him, right?
Right, and it made absolutely no sense. First they're trapped, and then they can just leave and go and find this old guy.
And the whole, this is the other part that I found kind of, I don't know if it was amusing or not, the whole shoe fetish thing.
Very strange.
The way that apparently he can't, and I'm digressing back to the review here a little bit, but
yeah,
he can't resist a pair of shoes. He has to polish them and, you know, fix them.
Right.
So the way they get away from him, they threw shoes at him, and he just had to hunt them all down and collect them and fix them.
And had this, like, kind of, oh, come on look.
Yeah.
which I found kind of funny. Like, oh, come on.
But when he saw the shoe, it looked like shoe fetish.
Yes, it did. Because he's polishing them really quickly, yeah, and everything. And
carefully, and yeah. A little creepy there. And not in a horror movie, kind of any kind of intended way.
Well, yeah. I think there was all going for the humor. I think this movie makes great St. Patrick's Day viewing. You just got to keep plenty of beer or whiskey on
bad
hand.
Bad enough in the world.
Really, I think this could be the flagship for MST movies.
Oh, yeah, I would. I don't know that they've ever done it. I should check out Riff Tracks to see if they've done it since then, because I think it was a little after Misty.
Right.
Riff Tracks might have covered it. I have to check.
This, I mean, there's a lot of movies that you know, that we've watched where you're like, well, you know, you make fun of it and it's an enjoyable experience. And kind of like, sometimes they just annoy me so much I can't even make fun of it. But this...
See, I'm kind of like you. I'm kind of switching roles here, because I'm normally the guy who laughs at the bad movies and loves them.
Right.
It didn't work for me this time.
But you could tell what they were doing here. This movie has no...
It was intentional. I think that's... It was intentional, exactly. And it still didn't work for me. I think that's why it bugged me.
Yeah, I mean,
I like my failures to be unintentional.
Nobody puts Jason Voorhees on a tricycle.
We may have to rethink the title.
I'm actually going to go with 3.5 brains.
Okay.
Because I was torn between 3 and 4. And I think it's just, it's not something you need to see multiple times, although if you are plastered enough, yeah, I'm sure it's a good
thing. And if you like cheap Irish jokes.
And midgets. Yeah. I mean, small people.
Small people, I think, is the preferred nomenclature.
You know, that was the other title I wanted to make for this. Short People Got No Reason.
I think that would have been a little too far.
All right.
So what have we learned?
That sometimes the little people in the world have the best vantage point.
I learned a couple of things. First, right. I learned that Jennifer Aniston used to be really hot. I don't know what happened there. And I also learned that I'm really glad that the era of the obnoxiously precocious child actor is over.
Are they just movies of their own?
We haven't seen one in a while.
Because we haven't been watching movies like Agent Cody Banks or whatever.
Well, this is true. But, I mean, the ones that had the broader audience where they just had to stick the kid in.
And I'm looking at you, Harry Potter,
that
again.
That was kind of an 80s, early 90s
looking
thing.
Looking at you.
Well, but they're all kids. And
yeah, now they're
not. No, but I'm saying it's not. What I'm referring to, the one that had the all-adult cast except for the one kid to make wisecrack.
I want to graduate from Hogwarts. My teeth fell out. They're going to be moving to do this movie so they die.
Anyway.
All right.
So until next week, when we will be reviewing Burn After Reading, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the episode descriptions, the album art, of course the episodes themselves, links to our Facebook page, our Twitter account, the Podrack survey, please take the Podrack survey, and they help us get some advertisers.
Love us, damn it.
You can find ways to subscribe to us via RSS and on iTunes. And if you use the iTunes approach, please also leave us a review and a rating. Also, and we'll get us listeners.
And then,
you can also give us a call. You can also interact with us. You can leave a message on Facebook or on zombietakeout.com or send us an email, zombietakeout@gmail.com. Or, of course, as you said, give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. The number...
Become a part of the show.
The number is 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861.
And remember, boys and girls, no matter where you call from, you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. So long-distance charges could apply if you don't have a good plan.
Or if you're Yakov Smirnoff.
Yes, or if you're Yakov Smirnoff.
So until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
What do I look like, me lad? See that? The buckles on me shoes? Why, I'm a leprechaun!
Okay, titles. Not much here.
I kept coming up.
Okay,
with
good,
them.
Good.
I don't know what to go with.
All I have is insert Lucky Charms reference here. Or
yeah, because they fucking did three of them. Jesus, I understand they had to do it.
They caught the last one. Fuck you, Lucky Charms, which was I liked actually. Got one thing that got a laugh out of me. The other one I had was not enough whiskey in the world, which is meaning not enough whiskey in the world to make me enjoy this movie.
Let's see. Of course, we could do Magically Delicious.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Right Up the Wicket. With enemies like this, who needs friends?
Well, I don't get that one.
Or Rachel versus Wicket. That's my favorite.
Oh, we did a versus last week, though.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, I'm partial to Write Up the Wicket.
Yeah.
I don't want to do, two verses in a row. It's
Or with enemies like this, who needs friends?
I still don't get that one. Oh, friends.
Friends.
Yeah. Okay, that took a while. Okay, now that I get that one, that's the one I like.
All right.